On the day before the 200th anniversary of the great hymn of our faith, Silent Night, Holy Night, let us hear its lyrics, written by Joseph Moore and translated into English in 1863 by John F. Young. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright round yon mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen.
Thank you.
Sometimes something tender, mild, and loving comes along and overtakes the world. Tomorrow, as Mary said, we will be celebrating the 200th anniversary of the first singing of Silent Night. And I'm reminded about how beloved most of us think this carol is, and how for many of us it just wouldn't quite be Christmas Eve without a singing of Silent Night, Holy Night. For me, Silent Night is not just a nice song, but it evokes for me precious memories. It's deeply meaningful, and it's integral to my spiritual journey, and maybe to yours too. As important as this carol is for me and so many of us, until recently, I didn't really know much about its history at all. So when I heard it was the 200th anniversary this year, I decided to do a little bit of research. And in my research, I discovered not only an interesting story about a Christmas carol, but I also discovered that contained within Silent Night is another story, the story of the gospel's great love for us in Jesus Christ. So what I thought we could do this morning is to spend our time hearing the story of Silent Night, its origins, and also how it spread throughout the world, and also to reflect a little bit on what that has to do with our lives and our faith. Let us be together in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this time and this space, this place and these people, for your word contained within a beloved Christmas carol. Break open your word for us this morning. Have it speak to our minds and to our hearts, and to flow outward through our hands into the world. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So the story of Silent Night, Holy Night begins in 1816 in a central Austrian town named Marienfahr. I'm going to tell you right at the beginning that I do not speak Austrian, and so I'm probably terribly pronouncing all of the names and places that you're going to be hearing today, but that's okay. We'll get through it. So it begins in 1816 in a central Austrian town named Marienfahr with a young priest named Joseph Moore. Joseph Moore was born in 1792 in Salzburg, which is up in the north and western part of Austria on the German border. And he was born to two parents who were never married. And his early years were filled with hardship and an absentee father. When he was 19 in 1811, And after a period of time where he was mentored by a local priest named Johann Hernel, who had mentored him with academics but also music, so after that mentoring relationship, Joseph decided that he was going to enroll in seminary and to begin his training for the ministry. The problem was that in that time and place, because his parents hadn't been married to one another, that disqualified him from enrolling in seminary. So he asked for special permission, and he was given special permission. That was 1811. In 1815, he graduated from seminary and was soon ordained, where he began serving a church in Mariafar, where he was there from 1815 to 1817. So it was in 1816 that he decided to put pen to paper, and he wrote out the lyrics to a poem that begins with the words, "Silent night, holy night." We don't really know why he wrote the poem, but some people have conjectured that in that time and place, there was a lot of suffering due to the leaving of some Bavarian troops that had been occupying the area. So there was violence and economic turmoil and a great deal of suffering. So people have conjectured that maybe he wrote his gentle poem of peace and hope in response to the great suffering that he had experienced and that his congregation had experienced as well. And somehow that rings true to me. Well, whatever reason he wrote that poem in 1816, it seems to have laid hidden until 1818, Christmas Eve Day, when the story goes that he approached his friend Franz Gruber. Franz Gruber was a local school teacher and an organist at St. Nicholas Church near Salzburg in a town called Oberndorf. At that point in 1818, Joseph Moore had begun his ministry in Oberndorf. So his friend Franz Gruber was a part-time organist at the church. And so Joseph Moore went to him and said, "You know, I would really like you to take this poem and write a tune to it for bass, tenor, guitar accompaniment, and for a choir." Just like the poem itself, people have conjectured about why on this particular day and Christmas Eve that Joseph Moore asked Franz Gruber to write the tune to his lyrics. Lots of wonderful stories have come out of that. One of them, I like this one, that mice had eaten the bellows of the organ and knocked the organ out of commission. St. Nicholas Church is right on the bend of a river, and it's prone to flooding. And in fact, that church, I believe, was torn down in 1906 because of repeated flooding. So anyway, people have conjectured that due to flooding that had happened recently, that the organ had gotten knocked out of tune and again was out of commission. Or it could have been some other reason. As far as we know, there's no historical record of anyone writing down why Joseph Moore asked Franz Gruber on this particular night to do this, and maybe it's lost in time. But what we do know is on Christmas Eve, day 1818, Joseph Moore went to his friend Franz Gruber, asked for help. Franz Gruber said yes, and spent a couple hours that afternoon in his schoolhouse writing the tune to Silent Night, Holy Night. So that evening, it was either during Christmas Mass or right after it, there's some debate about that, Franz Gruber sang bass and played guitar while Joseph Moore sang tenor, and the congregation joined in as the chorus. You can just imagine what that must have been like, right? A tender, mild, and loving moment to be sure, but it was also a spark. Sparked by two nobody priests in the middle of nowhere that would go on to light a musical bonfire. The story of how Silent Night moves from this small little country church in Oberndorf outward into the world is probably more interesting to me than the origin story itself. I mean, how do you take this nice little tune, you know, in a little provincial church, how does that become one of the most beloved songs of all time that everyone sings everywhere every year? So we know this about it, that in 1819, there was a group of singers in the area called the Rainier Family Singers, who had likely gotten a hold of that music by the organ repair person named Carl Marocker, who was known to be in and out of St. Nicholas repairing their organ. So the idea is that Carl takes the sheet music, he brings it with him, he gives it to some friends and family members, and they start singing it. And the Rainier family singers start singing it around the region, kind of like the Van Trapp family, right? Just going around singing. And so a year later, on Christmas Eve 1819, the Rainier family singers sang that song in their home church on Christmas Eve about 100 miles away from Oberndorf. In 1922, the Rainier family singers, we know, sang it between a meeting of the King of Austria and the Tsar of Russia. So in just a few years, it goes from this provincial little church to this sort of major political moment. In 1839, the Rainier family singers were known to sing that in Manhattan at Trinity Church. And so within a couple of decades, you see it kind of slowly or organically just moves out regionally and through Europe and then finally over into North America, right in the middle of Manhattan, which may be the moment where that spark turns into a bonfire. In 1866, Silent Night, Holy Night became a hymn in the official songbook of Salzburg in that particular diocese. And in the subsequent decades, the Silent Night was brought to many corners of the world, primarily by Catholic and Protestant missionaries. They take it with them, they go out into the mission field, and they sing that song. Apparently, it had connected with people. It had stuck in their hearts and minds, and it just gets sung over and over again. Today, Silent Night, Holy Night has been translated into over 300 different languages, and as Mary mentioned to us, it was translated in the version that many of us know best into English in 1863 by John Young. So we can see from this race through the history of Silent Night, Holy Night, evidence for this truth, that sometimes something tender, mild, and loving goes on to overtake the whole world. So since learning this history, I can't help but connecting it to the gospel story, right? Can't help connecting it and seeing the parallels between this nice provincial carol that goes on to overtake the world to the story of our gospel with an infant child beginning in Bethlehem that goes on to overtake the world with love. Think about the parallels, right? So in both stories, the gospel story and the story of Silent Night, we have the origins at a small country place in the middle of nowhere, right? Oberndorf and Bethlehem. The main characters in both are not from places of power and position and wealth. They're nobodies from the middle of nowhere. And the humbleness in both of these stories, in my mind, makes it very, very unlikely that those stories would be ones that we're talking about here 200 and 2,000 years later in a church in northern Vermont. I mean, how does that happen where these humble things move outward into the world in such a way? It happens because I think of the quality of both the gospel and the carol, but also this wonderful connection with these strange characters, roving bands of singers, disciples, right, through time and circumstance. And finally, that just ignites, it catches fire with people, and it ends up overtaking the world. So, putting that all together then, I think that Silent Night is not just this nice song. It's not just a great song of our faith. It's not just one of the most beloved songs in the whole world. But I see in its story that it is a container, right? A vessel. That it holds within itself a summary of the whole story of God's great love for us in Jesus Christ. And because Silent Night is a container for the gospel, that makes it sacred and holy and wonderful and worth singing over and over and over again, as we do each year. All right, so I know, I do, that after telling the story of Silent Night, after connecting it to the gospel, it feels like we should sing Silent Night, Holy Night, right? And not to sing it would be a little tone deaf and more than a little bit frustrating. So here's the bad news. We are not going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night this morning. We got a taste of it during the Advent wreath lighting, right? But we're not going to sing that carol. But here's the good news. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and in this very church, we will have two services at 4:30 p.m. and 7 p.m., both of which will end with a candlelight singing of Silent Night. So consider this a warm invitation to you to gather with us again tomorrow afternoon or evening or both of those. Consider this a warm invitation to come and sing Silent Night with great zeal and excitement. And consider this a warm invitation as you sing Silent Night to remember the amazing gospel story that's contained within it. And you know that story. The story about something tender and mild and loving overtaking the whole world. Amen.